Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Right now joining us is a guy who does nothing better than the NFL draft. Nothing better with Daniel Jeremiah and his podcast, Move the Sticks. But he covers the draft, guys, and breaks down film. And Mike and I enjoy visiting with him. Daniel, we wanted to get you on, obviously, this week before the draft actually takes place. And I guess the first thing for us as we start talking about this is, what's your take on the whole Kyler Murray thing? I'm hearing now that is not a done deal. Do you feel that way, or is that a smokescreen?
You know what? Anything you get this time of year, you always are a little bit skeptical about it. I haven't heard anything that would convince me otherwise. So I'm still under the assumption that it's going to be Kyler Murray with the first pick, and nobody knows for sure, but if I was guessing, I would say that's what it looked like to me. Selfishly, if somebody's going to be sitting there covering this thing, I hope we don't know until we get on TV and find out with everybody else. But I still feel like it ends up being Kyler Murray, but there's, I put it about 80-85% with that confidence.
The big thing for us, Daniel, is all the quarterbacks get taken before we select at 14, which gives us a lot of options. Drew Luck's stock is going up. Haskins' stock seems to be going the other way. You got the kid from Duke. I mean, will we see all the quarterbacks taken by 14?
I have, it's normally by this time you're like, okay, the quarterbacks have gotten really hot and we know they're getting ready to go. I don't necessarily hear all that. I hear, Washington is likely to take one. Miami's not likely to take one. Cincinnati, the latest you hear, is not likely to take one. So, I think there's a chance. I do feel either Drew Lock or Daniel Jones, perhaps both, could end up sliding a little bit and maybe even get down into the 20s. So, we'll see. Teams can be coy this time of year, but everything I've been hearing lately sounds like, Rosen could take up one of those spots, and then we'll see from there. But the latest I heard was Miami probably not taking one, Cincinnati probably not taking one. Denver is a little bit of a wild card. I know they've done so much work on quarterbacks, but can you draft one? They haven't even seen Joe Flacco take a snap yet.
Right.
Don't they want to see if he's got anything left before they spend a pick this high? That's my theory.
It's a good theory. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at MoveTheSticks. And NFL Network provides live coverage of the 2019 NFL Draft from Nashville beginning Thursday at 8 p.m. I'm starting to believe we may have only one corner taken in the first round. Am I crazy to think that?
No, I don't know what's going to happen with the corners. I know there's teams that need them down there. But, for instance, there's a corner that I have as my ninth corner. And I talked to a team in the league, and they have them as their top corner.
Huh.
So the grades are all over the map on these guys. What everybody agrees on is there's no top 10, top 15, type talent. They're all in the 20s, 30s, and even into 40s. I think you can find some good players there. So that might cause some teams to kind of kick that can down the road a little bit and say, we'll wait until round two or even round three and feel like we won't get that different of a player.
I know that as Daniel Jeremiah breaks it down, guys, go to NFL.com and you can get all the different mock drafts from all their panel of experts. Daniel, for the time being, has got us going with Greedy Williams out of LSU. A lot of Falcon fans that are dog fans saw DeAndre Baker be a shutdown guy. Teams wouldn't even throw his way. And then his combine just seemed to screw everything up with the scouts.
Yeah, he did. He had a poor spring. I thought he was going into the process at the beginning. I thought he was the best corner on tape. But the tape's the most important thing, but when you interview poorly, and you don't run quite as well as you should, as fast as he is, you should have ran better than that. This wasn't a great spring for him. It's a complete process from the fall to the spring. And I think he took a little bit of a hit there in the spring. So, we'll see. I think he's got a chance to go in the bottom of one. Most teams I talk to around the league have him in the second round at this point in time, which could end up being a steal because, again, he played really well last year.
Daniel, I've been high on Ed Oliver from the jump. Then he kills it at his pro day, and I think his stock obviously went up. How high is Ed Oliver now in this draft? Is he a top five pick?
I think it's likely. I would say three or four is probably the two two most likely landing spots. Three, as I mentioned a week or two ago, you know, with the Greg Williams connection, having somebody he feels like can do some Aaron Donald-type things, who he coached. Now, he's not Aaron Donald, but he can be disruptive in that front. And then you've got the Raiders at four. Those are the two teams you hear the most about. The only part about the Raiders that I'm a little bit skeptical is, you know, they got Mo Hurst, who's undersized. He's a good player. He's an undersized guy who fell in the draft last year due to some health. But, man, you get into the game and you've got Mo Hurst and then you've got Ed Oliver, you are light, really light up the middle in a division where, you know the Chargers can run the ball. You know the Chiefs can kind of do whatever they want. And the Broncos with Munchak up there, you know they're going to make a commitment to run the ball. So that would be the only thing that would cause a little bit of skepticism with that pick.
Daniel Jeremiah with us, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline from NFL Network, the Move the Sticks podcast. Always great stuff for draft time. Because we were talking to start the show with the rumors that the Jets might be interested in Ed Oliver. And I said, that's got to be typical Jets smokescreen. So does that mean that Quinnen Williams is going to slip a little bit?
He's too good. I mean, this is what happens. You hear all this stuff, and then you bite on some of it, and then you get down to it, and all of a sudden the draft starts in 10 minutes, and you go, what am I thinking? All these teams are not going to pass on Quinnen Williams. He's just too good.
Right.
So it ends up coming full circle. So, man, I can't see him falling too far.
As we talk about these Clemson defensive linemen, who is the best out of all the film work you've done and studied? Who is the best defensive lineman of the guys that are coming out?
For me, you know, I think there's a really, really good group of guys. But I have Wilkins just because it's hard to find interior pass rush. He can give you some of that. So he's got a long track record, very productive, and he's got tremendous inside-outside range in the run game too. So, yeah, he'd be the top one for me. And then Farrell, I think, is a little undervalued, underappreciated even in this draft class. He just, you know what you're getting. He might not be a 14-sack guy.
Right.
But I think he's going to get you 8 to 10 sacks every year, be really good against the run, and you won't find any higher quality of character than what he brings. And then after that, I go Big Dexter. And I wouldn't be surprised with him if he ends up going higher than people think. You know, he got hurt. He pulled up on the 40 and, you know, wasn't fully healthy through the sprint. But even when he pulled up, he ran 5.05, which means he's easily sub-5 at 330-plus. I think he's got a chance. I wouldn't be shocked if he went in the top 15. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up in Atlanta.
See, I like Christian Wilkins just as like the size, or, you know, bigger size component next to what we've got with Grady Jarrett. But, you know, anybody who watched Clemson over the years, he's a leader on that team, all the intangibles. Daniel Jeremiah is with us here, guys, breaking down the draft. The defensive tackles, because we're going to look at everything from defensive back, safety, O-line, defensive tackle. Can you still get that big-time quality defensive tackle, though, in the second round?
There's some good guys there. I mean, to me, a couple you keep an eye on with, we'll see what happens with Tillery from Notre Dame, who's really talented and just had to, you know, kind of fight through a shoulder injury. And then Tristan Hill from Central Florida, I think he's going to go in the second round. He is really explosive. So those two guys would be two I would keep an eye on with, you know, Draymond Jones and Zach Allen, you know, Collin Saunders from Western Illinois. You can find one in the second round. It's pretty deep.
We also need an offensive lineman. It's Daniel Jeremiah joining us here on Dukes and Bell, NFL Network analyst. Who is that guy? If an offensive lineman, one of these top three or four guys, falls to 14, which I think is very doable in everything that I've been looking at, what do you think about these O-linemen, especially at the tackle position? And I've heard a lot about Dillard, the guy, the kid out of Washington State. A lot of people are on him.
He is. I've had him from start to finish, from pole to pole, as the top offensive lineman in this draft. He's just tremendously athletic. He's great in pass protection, and I think he's got a chance to really be good in the run game. They just didn't ask him to do it much there at Washington State. But somebody that you want to run some zone stuff in that Atlanta offense, mm-hmm. he can really get lateral quick. He's got a chance to be really, really good. I don't think when it's all said and done, he'll be there. I wouldn't sleep on Green Bay potentially taking him at 12 and kicking Balaga inside guard. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with these linemen. I think there's a good group of those top guys, and I think it's a drop-off. Usually when that's the case, these guys tend to go really high.
It's Daniel Jeremiah, guys, breaking down the draft. We'll be live at Mercedes-Benz for the coverage right here on your home of the Falcons, 92.9 The Game. Do you believe all the hype about all the trades, Daniel, because you got four teams that don't have a first-round pick, a lot of teams with multiples? I mean, do you think we're going to see a lot of action?
I think we are going to see some action, and I think, you know, you look at the teams, and more so in the 20s than the top of the draft. I don't think, you know, the cost to move up in the top is so high. Unless you're going up to get a quarterback, teams don't want to pay that. But when you look at teams, you know, like the Baltimore Ravens picking in the 20s, they don't have a second-round pick from the Lamar Jackson trade. You could see them trade out. Seattle is in a position where they could try and get out of there. New England's always a candidate to trade out. So there's going to be, I believe, some movement, especially once we get to the 20s.
You always take the best player?
I take the best player unless it's a quarterback. I will take a good quarterback over a great player at another position if you don't have one. That to me is the exception that you make. So the joke is, yeah, we always take the best player, and we always rank our board by need. So when we make our pick, we say, oh, we took the best player. Yeah, well, you rank them based off of the need.
That's
so
right.
All semantics.
Right. Here in Atlanta, Daniel, we have what's self-described by the coach and the GM as co-team builders. Our boy, Mike Mayock, now working with Gruden. Who's got the final say on that deal?
You know, I think you usually on those deals you follow the money. I haven't seen Mike's number. I love Mike. He's paid for my dinner every time we've ever gone out. But if he's approaching any of that Gruden money, then he can buy the restaurant, not just the meal.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's waiting to see because they're sitting there at four, and if they like a quarterback, that could maybe overturn the apple cart. They've kind of been a little cryptic about what they've got right now with Carr at quarterback.
Yeah, I'm put my network hat on. I'm hoping that they surprise us and take Dwayne Haskins. You know, that would make it fun. It would shake it up. Now you start seeing guys available that teams didn't think they had any shot at, and then that's when the draft really gets fun. So hopefully Mike is considerate of his old workplace and trying to look out for us and give us something to talk about.
Why is Drew Lock moving up? Why do you think more teams are sold on him now than they were?
I don't know that. I don't know that's the case. You know, I think actually there's a chance that he ends up being one of the ones that potentially slide if he's not going to be in play with the Washington Redskins at 15. Then I think, you know, once you get past the Redskins at 15, now I think you start getting into the 20s and you start talking about would the Chargers take one, would the Packers take one at 30, would the Patriots take one. I think one of these guys is going to end up dropping it. You know, I just don't have a feel for whether that's going to be Drew Lock or Daniel Jones, but I'll be surprised if all four of those guys end up going real high.
It's a Daniel Jeremiah. Hey, we've got about 30 seconds left, Dan, before we cut you loose. Our general manager's done a nice job of getting skill position guys middle, late rounds. Do you think Benny Snell will be there in the fourth round, third round?
Oh, all day long. Yeah, he didn't run well. So teams, you know, I talked to some teams, and they're like, okay, you've got somebody that's not going to play on third down. It doesn't have a ton of juice to be able to get outside, so he's going to be a purely inside runner, and that dings your value. So, I think he'll be there in the fourth round all day long.
Daniel, it's always good to catch up with you, man. We appreciate the info. Looking forward to Thursday and the draft. Daniel Jeremiah, guys, NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. And, of course, NFL Network providing live coverage of the 2019 NFL Draft in Nashville beginning Thursday at 8 o'clock. Hey, man, appreciate you. Thanks so much.
You guys are the best. Take care.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.